Good afternoon, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Joseph Woodley. I'm from Shreveport, and I was court-appointed to represent Ms. Dyson. There's no dispute about the facts. Ms. Dyson did not appear when she was supposed to begin her sentence on a money laundering charge, which she had also pled guilty to, which is currently on appeal. The sentence is on appeal to this Court now. I think it's 08-30045. After she failed to appear, Ms. Dyson got arrested. She got indicted under 18 U.S.C. Section 3146, which is the federal prohibition for failing to appear, basically bail jumping. The only issue that we're appealing is the enhancement of her sentence under Section 3146 by the use of Section 3147, which prescribes an additional penalty in the event that a crime is committed while on release. In this case, the crime that she committed was the failure to appear. So our argument is that what you got really is a double counting. You are convicting her and with a maximum of 5 years in jail for failing to appear, and then on top of that, you're exposing her to an additional 10 years, all of which is going to run consecutive not only to the original sentence but to each other, for committing the crime of failing to appear while she was out on release. And as applied in this case, we're arguing that that's not only double counting, but it violates her double jeopardy provisions of the Eighth Amendment.
But how could it? Because the clear language of 3147 says it's to be applied, quote, in addition to the sentence prescribed for the offense committed while on release. How could that not be crystal clear?
Because, Your Honor, the way I read that, and you look at the legislative history, and
let's look at the statute. Okay.
If we look at the statute, then it's applied. I'm sorry. While released under this chapter, shall be sentenced in addition to the sentence prescribed for the offense. Is that what you're asking me? Then I think that if you look at the statute, what it's trying to tell you is that, looking back to 3146, if the punishment for an offense under this section is so-and-so, and if the person was released,
Confusing your own self?
Yes, ma'am. Whoever having been released under 3146, if he fails to appear before a court as required by the conditions of release, which clearly we did, Ms. Dyson did, and then Section 3147 says if you're convicted of an offense committed while released under this chapter. But the offense then is that she didn't appear. And so what you're telling us is if you don't appear, then not only are you going to get convicted for failing to appear, but you're going to get convicted for committing the offense of failure to appear while you were on release. And our argument is that although on its face perhaps the statute reads that way, It's not as applied using the history. It's inappropriate to convict somebody for failing to appear and then pile on, so to speak, because the crime you did is now going to be enhanced by 3147.
You were on release. You were trusted. You were let go. You were let go, and you had to come back.
Right. Yes, ma'am. For which you're convicted under 3146, and then 3147 adds more on to that.
Right. Otherwise, we have to keep everyone in jail until we sentence them. You have to have some kind of statutory scheme that prevents people from failing to appear once you release them.
Yes, ma'am, but
it's a deliberate enhancement. I mean, I think Congress did this obviously on purpose.
Let me see if I can understand what you're arguing. You're saying that failure to appear can only be committed, violated, when you're on release. So why would you, in addition to the maximum for doing that, add on top of that an enhancement because you committed that while you were released, which is the only way you can commit it?
Yes, sir. And
okay. Judge, I think we've got that argument.
And Judge Clement, we do have a scheme in place to stop people from not showing up. That's 3146. I mean, it's there. And I'm not arguing to you that the sentence under 3146 isn't appropriate. All I'm saying is then to enhance that.
I know what you're saying. Now, every circuit court has ruled against your position. All right?
Yes, ma'am.
You didn't cite any of those circuit cases. You only cited district court opinions. So why should we create a circuit split in your favor? Sure.
I think in my brief, and I don't want to disagree with you, but on page 9, I cited both United States versus Benson and United States versus Clemendor, which are the two circuit courts. There is a fourth circuit that I did not cite, and I agree with that.
Well, my concern is why create a circuit split?
Well, we need to have a circuit split so we can get a final decision, I suppose, from the Supreme Court. That's one reason.
What is this case from the cases that have ruled against you? Against Mr. Dyson? Against Ms. Dyson?
Ms. Dyson. You're talking about the circuit courts. Now, there are, of course, two district courts that...
We're not bound by those.
I know. Yes, ma'am. Well, we're not that bound by the circuit courts either.
No, but we're hesitant to create a split.
I understand that. I think the reason to create a split is because it's the right thing to do. I mean, the application of 3147, when you're already convicted under 3146, is just too much. And anytime you have a situation where there's just too much in the criminal context, I believe the rule of lenity and the rules of statutory construction, which require a clear congressional intent, that's what you wanted. And if you look at the congressional history, I think I did cite that also in my brief, it's unclear that they wanted 3147 to enhance 3146 because they're talking about under 3147, we don't want people who present a risk, who go out and commit some kind of violent crime. We want them to get this extra enhancement. Well, that's not what happened here. The woman just didn't show up, and she didn't commit any other crimes while she was out on release. Now, admittedly, it was only 6 weeks or so it wasn't a humongous amount of time. Maybe something was going to happen, but it didn't. Her only crime is failing to come to court. Failure to report to the prison. And so when you look at creating a split, what you should look at, in my opinion, is not we don't want to create a split, but we want to do what's the right thing. And in this case, I think anytime you have a situation where the penalty is just not equal to the crime, as it is in this case, 5 years plus 10 more years, just because you didn't show up for your prison sentence, is got to have a clear congressional intent. And I think that's missing here. I think, Your Honor, that's really all I have.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Woodley.
Thank
we
you.
Have your argument.
Yes, sir.
And we'll hear from you on rebuttal.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Ms. Kassir.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. The sole issue before the court, then, is whether 3147 can be applied or should be applied, because it is a mandatory statute. It says it shall apply in the case of an offense under 3146. The application of 18 U.S.C. section 3147 is included in the guidelines in 3C1.3, and it adds three levels to a defendant's offense level. The district judge in this case overruled the defendant's objection to the enhancement and increased defendant's offense level by three levels. And
well,
then
it is true, isn't it, that every other crime in the code can be committed either while on release or not while on release.
That is
and
correct.
This one is the only one that can only be committed while on release.
I believe you are correct, Your Honor, in that situation.
A little bit of an Alice in Wonderland
right.
situation.
The cases that the dissents in the two circuit cases rely on are cases in which the statutes were separate substantive statutes. One is a 924C and the other was a bank robbery with a firearm. Another one was felony murder and rape during the commission of the rape. And another one was an explosive case that was prosecuted under one statute and then also prosecuted under 924C.
Did Judge Walter comment at all on this facial anomaly?
There was very little comment. He simply agreed with the probation office's analysis and with the government's analysis in its sentencing memorandum, in its response, I should say, to the objection filed by the defense attorney. But this statute, 3147, is not a substantive offense. It cannot be prosecuted individually on its own. It is strictly a sentence enhancement, and Congress intended it as a sentence enhancement to apply to all offenses. Congress made no exception. Congress had the opportunity, had they wanted to make some exception for this statute. Both 3146 and 3147 were amended in 1986 at the same time. These are consecutive statutes. They're right next to each other in the statutory scheme. If Congress had wanted to pull this one out and say, it shouldn't apply here, it's not fair, they could have, but Congress did not. 3147 applies across the board, even to misdemeanors. There is a scheme in here for what it should apply to various sentencing schemes, and that determines the level of increase under the guidelines. Clearly, Congress has not used ambiguous language. It is clear language. You don't get to the rest of the interpretation and statutory interpretation guidelines without finding some ambiguity here. The rule of lenity does not apply unless there is ambiguity. There is none. Congress made itself known as to exactly what it meant. Congress said what it meant, and I believe Congress meant what it said in this case. The 11th Circuit, the 6th Circuit, and the 4th Circuit have all approved of the application of this enhancement and have not found a double jeopardy violation or any other ambiguity in the statute.
Now, the 16 months that she got for violating 3146.
Correct.
Was that was not the maximum, was it?
It was not, Your Honor. Okay. Maximum she could have gotten.
Something like 5 years or what?
I believe it was a 5-year term, yes.
Okay. And then the 5 months under 3147 is mandatory?
The 5 months, what the judge is, he is required to calculate the guidelines using 3C1.3, which adds 3 levels. So her guidelines offense level was originally 9. You add the 3 levels, it becomes 12. So that increased her guideline range from 12 to 18 months to 21 to 27 months. But the guideline requires that the court divide the sentence to make it clear that her sentence includes a sentence for the 3146 violation and what the court is putting in as the enhancement.
Where did the 16 months fall?
The 16 months falls, it's below her guideline range. The court has to sentence her to a total within her guideline range. The court sentenced her to the lowest possible guideline range of 21.
Yeah.
And then divided that 21 months into 16 and 5, because that is required by the guideline advisory comments.
So the court obviously knew the stacking situation that she was exposed to.
The judge knew exactly what she was exposed to and had sentenced her on the previous offenses also.
Okay. Thank you.
Is there anything else, Your Honor? In sum, the statute is not ambiguous. It is clear on its face, and this circuit should not create a circuit split and should follow what the other three circuits have done.
Thank you, Ms. Kassir. Mr. Woodley, you have any rebuttal?
No, sir.
Just to address what you asked, Judge Walter, as you know, he's a man of few words. He did not address the what we consider to be an anomaly at all. We objected to it, but to the enhancement under 3147, but he just overruled the objections. He obviously was aware of the stacking issues. He sentenced Ms. Dyson to 16 months to run consecutive to the original sentence and 5 months consecutive to that. And that was the low end of the guideline, which was 21 20 to 27, I think, without the 3 points, it's 12 to 18, I believe. The maximum, however, is 5 years and 10 years. But he sentenced her within the guidelines for that. I think that the only thing I would point out is that I think when you use the statutory interpretation, you can't lose sight of the fact that 3146 is a specific statute, and 3147 is a general statute. And traditionally, as those of us in the civil law tradition know, you use the general statute only if there isn't a specific statute. In this case, there is a specific statute. It's 3146. And we believe that the use of both is just inappropriate.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Woodard. We also want to thank you for your service to the client and to the court as court-appointed counsel.
My pleasure.
Thank you. I have that case under submission and hear the second case.